Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Psalm, chapter 139, verses 1 through 4, and 23 and 24. Please follow along in your Bible or on the screen, and if anyone here needs a Bible, please raise your hand and we'll see that an usher brings you one. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Kevin. So, how many of you get those postcards in the mail? Or maybe you get an email or a text from your doctor reminding you that it's time for your exam? How many of you get those? How many of you jump up and down when you get them? Yeah, I didn't think so. No one gets excited about those reminders. And bless them, they sure try to make it sound appealing or make it look appealing. You get that postcard in the mail and it's got the dancing teeth or the smiley face heart and the words bearing, we miss you, you know. And, you know, it's not like you're sitting there going, well, gosh, I miss them too. I can't wait to see them. I'm going to call right now and make that appointment because I want to get in there as soon as possible. Nobody does that, except maybe my mom. My mom goes to the dentist more than twice a year because she likes it. That's weird to me. But she doesn't have the same sentiment toward her primary care doctor. She likes the doctor. She doesn't like going to the doctor. Most of us avoid going to the doctor like the Black Plague for a few reasons. You know, one might be the cost of healthcare. If you have a high deductible or, you know, healthcare all around is expensive. And so we stress about that. Another reason is maybe we have a perceived minimal need to see the doctor. You know, we say, it's just a cold, it'll be gone in a week, I don't need to go to the doctor. Or it might be that we are afraid that something unfavorable might be revealed. And the latter, according to research, the latter is the number one reason that most people avoid going to the doctor, why they fail to adhere to regular checkups, because checkups catch what we do not see, what we do not feel. You know, heart disease develops quietly. Cancer spreads quietly. I had a blood panel done last year, and they called me and they said, your cholesterol's high. You need to start exercising 5 days a week and get on a Mediterranean diet. And I said, I already do that. And so it has a way of sneaking in on you. The most dangerous conditions are the silent ones. And the same is true of our spiritual health. You know, when our worship becomes routine rather than sacred, when sin stops bothering us, you know, we say that's the norm. Now that's the norm of the culture. When we cling to comfort rather than open ourselves to change, if bitterness is growing in us, but we just kind of put that off like it's no big deal, when we start relying on ourselves rather than God because we think we're doing good, we don't need him, we got this, those become breeding grounds for spiritual decay. It creeps in, it sets up camp, and it begins hardening the heart. And so if we're going to become our best self, you know, just like we need to be attentive to our bodily health and go to those regular checkups to ensure our health, we also need regular spiritual examination, a loving, honest inventory. Sometimes God is referred to as the great physician, right? And he already knows what's going on inside of us when most of the time we don't even have a clue. David opens Psalm 139 with a staggering truth. He says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me." Before we ever examine ourselves, God sees clearly our motives, our hidden struggles, the wounds we pretend are not that bad, the sins we try to minimize or justify away. He even knows the good things that we overlook and the growth we fail to celebrate. And when we are confronted with the truth of this verse, it can often make us feel exposed, a little naked, right? But it is meant to comfort us, because the one who knows us completely also loves us relentlessly. God is not a harsh specialist looking to diagnose failure in us. He is a loving father who is committed to our healing. And as I said last week, most people don't drift toward Christ-likeness. That takes intentionality and discipline. It takes training. What we tend to drift toward is comfort, complacency, atrophy. And if left unchecked, our hearts develop conditions such as bitterness, pride, idolatry, self-reliance. Last week we talked about developing habits and rhythms, and James Clear taught us that for us to achieve lasting change, we need to focus more on identity-based outcomes and not, identity-based habits and not outcome-based habits. Focus not so much on the task, but asking, you know, what does a healthy, devoted disciple do? A healthy disciple asks regularly to God, "How is it with my soul?" You know, that was a question that John Wesley consistently asked members of his clubs, his classes, his band meetings of the early Methodist movement. It wasn't a question that was asked once a year. It wasn't a question that was asked during a season. It was a regular rhythm in early Methodist discipleship. David says, "Search me, God." He says, "Test me. You know, show me my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me." What he's praying here is really a rather courageous prayer. You know, because this is something we don't come to naturally. It is not something we like to do. You know, why is spiritual examination so difficult? Well, I think the first reason mimics the reason we avoid physical checkups. We fear what God is going to reveal to us. He'll reveal the parts of us that are broken, you know, the parts of us that are infected, that need intervention. David's prayer is a brave one because it is an invitation for God to reveal what we would rather pretend isn't there. The stuff we want to keep hidden, the stuff we live in denial about, even if it festers into something more critical. We would rather deal with that than the guilt or the shame or the conviction that comes with that revelation or diagnosis. But God never reveals something to crush you. He reveals it to heal you. You know, sometimes we confuse conviction with condemnation. It is not the same thing. Conviction is saying, this makes you less alive. Let's do something about it. It is life-giving. Another thing that gets in the way of our spiritual examination is comparison. You know, we tend to say, well, I'm doing better than most people are doing. I'm doing much better than I was before. At least I don't do this. At least I'm not as bad as this person. But God is not forming you to be better than most people. He is forming you to be like Christ. And when we compare our goodness to Christ rather than those around us, you know, suddenly we're not on this side of the scale anymore, where we think we're doing better than most. We're on this side of the scale where we know we fall incredibly short. Comparison is a terrible diagnostic tool. Another thing we do is we confuse activity with health. Church is important. It is crucial for your faith development. But your attendance here does not equate to spiritual vitality. Serving does not automatically mean surrender. Knowledge does not guarantee transformation. You can be all kinds of busy in religious activity and still quietly drift away from the intimacy of God. It happens all the time. It happens slowly. It happens quietly. And that is why checkups matter. The goal here is not perfection. It is direction. Notice how the psalm ends. Okay, David says, "Lead me in the way everlasting." The purpose of examination is not to, you know, condemn you or beat you into perfection. It is to redirect you toward life. If you think of it like a person who has just been told by their doctor they are pre-diabetic, okay, it is not the best news in the world, but if rather than denying or ignoring that, they heed the advice of their doctor and they develop a rhythm of diet or exercise, they can change the trajectory of their life. Same thing here. So I want to offer you a couple of tools to help you check in with God and take an honest assessment of your spiritual health. Most of you should have these. So on one side is the Christ inventory. The other side is the 22 questions. If you did not get one of these, they are on the table here in the narthex. Just grab one as you're leaving today. But I want to go over the Christ inventory first. So this, it's an acrostic for Christ because the measure is Christ, right? So we look at our communion with God first, and we ask ourselves questions like, is my prayer life gaining depth, or is it stagnant or dry? You know, do I hunger for God or just his blessings? You know, do I love the gift giver or do I just like the gifts? Am I abiding in him or am I just casually visiting with him when it's convenient for me? Then we look at heart transformation and we ask, you know, is the Spirit confronting areas that I may be ignoring? Am I teachable? Am I willing to humble myself to be teachable? Am I resisting repentance? R is for relationships. Are any of my relationships strained? Am I struggling with unforgiveness? Am I pursuing unity with people, even people who maybe think or live and act different from me? Am I loving difficult people or am I condemning them? So I stands for influence. Is anyone closer to Jesus because of the way I live my life? You know, am I a reflection of him? Am I an inspiration to others? Am I showing people what Christ has done in me and then inspiring them to pursue that? Am I living on mission or am I just living comfortably, you know, doing what serves me? Am I becoming more loving? Am I becoming more patient? S stands for surrender. What is God asking me to release right now? What is it that I have that death grip on that I need to let go of so that God can do his work in me? Where am I resisting him? You know, is there any sin I'm tolerating rather than confronting? T stands for training. What intentional step am I taking to grow? If we're not taking intentional steps, What are we doing? Where might I be drifting? Where am I stretching instead of settling? Okay, so that is the Christ inventory. You can use that tool, or this other one I found on the UMC website under discipleship resources. So these are questions that John Wesley's Holy Club asked themselves every day. Every day they went through these 22 questions in their private devotions. So questions like, am I a slave to dress, friends, work, and habits? You know, am I self-conscious, self-pitying, self-justifying? Did the Bible live in me today? Do I give it time to speak to me every day so that I can live it? How do I spend my spare time? You know, am I a proud person? Do I thank God that I am not like other people, especially as the Pharisee who despised the publican? Is there anyone whom I fear, dislike, disown, criticize, hold a resentment toward, or disregard? And if so, what am I doing about that? Do I grumble and complain constantly? So these are questions we don't enjoy asking those questions. You know, just like we don't like telling our doctors what hurts or symptoms that might be limiting us, but they are necessary questions to help us confront symptoms that create spiritual decay so that we can hopefully change the trajectory of our vitality and growth. Create a rhythm of life where you are asking these questions, not anxiously, but honestly. Because what gets examined gets a treatment plan aimed toward healing. And what gets ignored festers into something much more destructive. Healthy disciples don't just ask, you know, am I doing better than yesterday? Am I sinning less? They ask, am I becoming like Jesus? Think of it like this. Doctors prefer prevention over emergency surgery, right? So does God. So regular confession prevents hardened hearts. Quick repentance prevents deep bondage. Honest prayer prevents spiritual drift. Small corrections prevent catastrophic collapse. No one plans for moral failure. It's not like we wake up and say, I'm going to make a mess of my life, right? It grows quietly in the absence of examination. If you want to become your best self, the person that God is forming, you cannot live on spiritual autopilot and hope that everything is going to turn out okay. It requires participation. It requires deep reflection. It requires surrender. The healthiest believers are not ones who never struggle, okay? They are ones who stay open to God's searching work. When was the last time you invited God to search you? And not rushed, not surface level, but a prayer that earnestly prays, search me, God, know my heart, test me. You know, God searches you like a physician committed to your healing, not to expose you, but to restore you, not to shame you, but to lead you to life everlasting. So as we close this series, I want to just summarize here. If we're going to make the most, not just of this year, but of what God has given us. You know, if we're going to become deeply devoted disciples, if we're going to become as healthy and vital as we can be for the kingdom, we must train first for the things that matter most. We must develop a support system. We need accountability. We must be made new in the attitude of our minds. We must detox from bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness. We need to develop healthy, sustainable habits and rhythms, and we need to schedule regular spiritual checkups. So this week, I want you to open Psalm 139. I want you to pray it slowly and use either the Christ Inventory tool or the 22 questions. You can do both if you like. I mean, they all kind of interconnect with each other. But get someplace quiet. Turn off all the distractions. Ask the questions. Invite God to search you and know your heart, to test you and know your anxious thoughts, to see if there is any offensive way in you, and see how God leads you in the way everlasting. It's time for your checkup. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have walked with us through moments of conviction, healing, stretching, and renewal. And today we pause to acknowledge what is already true, that you are not finished with us yet. Lord, thank you for loving us exactly as we are, yet loving us too much to leave us unchanged. We thank you for calling us not merely to believe in Christ, but to become like him. Forgive us for the ways we have settled for comfort instead of growth, where we have settled for familiarity instead of transformation, routine instead of surrender. Where complacency has crept in, awaken us. Where spiritual muscles have weakened, strengthen us. Where our hearts have grown distracted, draw us back to you. Search us, O God, and know our hearts. Test us and see if there is any anxious way in us. Reveal what we have ignored. Gently uncover what we have hidden. Lovingly confront what does not reflect the character of Jesus. And then lead us, Lord, in the way everlasting. Give us the courage to examine our lives without fear, trusting that your grace always meets us in the truth. Guard us from measuring our worth by comparison with others, and fix instead our eyes on Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. Teach us to pursue progress, not perfection, to celebrate evidence of your spirit at work within us, even as you continue shaping us day by day. Lord, as we step beyond this series, remind us this is not an ending, but ascending. Empower us to measure what matters, to pursue what leads to life, and to keep saying yes to your transformative work. When we grow weary, sustain us. When we stumble, restore us. When we are tempted to settle, call us forward again. We yield ourselves to you once more. All that we are and all that we are becoming. Use our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.